Yeah. Good morning, everyone. I'm Aaron Brazell from Wirral University Teaching Hospital. So I'm just going to give a quick overview of what we're doing in the Wirral from a population health point of view. I've been asked to shave a bit of time off, so if I talk quickly, I do apologise. So just a quick overview of the Wirral, who we are. We're very lucky in the sense of we're not a massive economy. We do have just one CCG and one acute trust, but made up as generally, you know, with a social services, mental health trust. But these organisations make up what we call the Healthy Wirral Partnership, which I'll allude to a bit more later on. So for those of you who don't know the Wirral, we're a little peninsula stuck between Liverpool and Wales, with Cheshire underneath us. And from one side to the other, from east to the west, is about 12 miles. So the Healthy Wirral Partners put a vision together, which was to have people on the Wirral, no matter where they live or where they're born, living longer, healthier lives. And that is really pertinent to, if you look at this graph. Now, I don't know if you can see it fully, but over here, we have the east. And on the other side, Heswall, we have the west side of the Wirral. And this shows us the difference in life expectancy from one side to the other. That's 12 miles, and that's a difference of about 10 years. So every mile you go from one side to the other, your life's reduced or increased, depending on that, which is really pertinent to kind of improving healthcare across the whole economy of the Wirral. Now, that's not to say we want everyone to have the same healthcare and we're bringing the West down and their life expectancy down. It's to improve everyone's and everyone to live longer, healthy lives. I think it was said before, it's not about getting people just to live longer, but actually live healthier lives, regardless of that expectancy, to live healthier lives during. So, to kind of take our population health approach, we went out to the population, and rather than asking them what's the matter with you, we approached it from a point of view, and I'm sure you've heard this before, what matters to you? So we had, you know, quite a bit back, things you'll find in common. But one thing that stood out to me was they actually fed back that they wanted integrated, joined up services. You know, that's the population telling us that, not us telling the population, oh, we're going to join up services, we're going to give you better healthcare. They say that to us because they're the ones who experience it. They're the ones who know the disparity between different organisations and repeating their story over and over again. And meds, you know, being asked what the meds are over and over again, turn up at A&E. I find it crazy that you turn up to A&E and you ask, what's your meds? And like, we're in a digital world. Why can't that be shared? So just moving forward to that, the approach we took was, as I've already alluded to, we got to know, engage our population, find out what matters to them. And then look at how we manage that population, how we support them. Now, I'm sure everyone's, or most people have seen the triangle on the side there, breaking down the population to high risk, medium risk, low risk. And we talk about, you know, supporting the high risk patients and managing their long-term health conditions, the medium risk, you know, stopping them from going into high risk. But actually, from our point of view, from managing our population, we talk about our whole population, whether you're low, medium, high risk, managing the whole population, supporting the whole population. I'll come on to that in a moment about how we're doing that. So we've put together a few goals, reducing premature mortality, improving the timeliness and quality of patient care, supporting patients to self-manage. And a lot of being talked about, you know, Matt Hancock talks about it. It's supporting patients to manage their own health. They're the ones in control of their health. They might touch across clinicians and caregivers, but they're the ones in control. So how can we support them in helping themselves? And that enhanced integrated working across the whole system among all the different organisations. So how are we doing it? Well, we've got three systems, the World Care Record, Health Information Exchange, and our analytics system. And we're using them to deliver transformation, service transformation, look at how we're delivering services on the Wirral, and change where appropriate, where's needed, not just finger in the air and kind of, you know, one person saying, I think this can be done better in this way. We're actually using data, analytics, information to support that change, give the evidence based. And so, yeah, moving on from that. As part of the programme, we've done it so far in two phases and hoping to carry that on. But the first phase, we worked in the acute and GP practices, primary care. And the second phase, we're currently working with those other organisations who make up the Healthy Wirral Partnership to bring them on board onto this to get their data in and to review their data. So the first system, trying to shave the minutes off very quickly, Health Information Exchange. I'm sure lots of people have different versions of Health Information Exchange. The reason I've talked about this, it's not really population health. It's sharing of information. It's allowing clinicians, caregivers to provide that care at the point of care, to have access to that information and know their patients better. A&E. Someone turns up, you get to see the meds from the GP, or 5 minutes with the GP appointment and the GP seeing what's happened in the hospital and vice versa. But what we've done with this, we've embedded it into the systems that those users are using, sorry. But yeah, those systems that they're using, so there's a very quick button, they have the patient in context, they're looking at their patients in the system they've got, and then they just click a button to see extra information on that patient. And the reason I'm kind of making a point on that is you need to make it easy for the users. If they don't find it easy to use, if it doesn't give them the information they want, they're not going to adopt it, they're not going to engage with it and use it. So it's live information, it's peer contact, it's the patient in context, and there's no stored data. To show the example of that, we went live in primary care in February and live in secondary care in April. And as you can see, there's just a consistent increase in usage with that system. And that's because it is easy and it gives them the information they want. And talking about information they want, I think it's Eric Schmidt. He alluded to basically since the start of time, since the start of man to 2003, there was 5 exabytes of data created. And then since 2003, 5 exabytes of data are created every 2 days now. Now, that's not in the NHS, obviously. That's across the whole system. But the point is, there's more and more data being created over and over and being able to use, which is great. We can use that data to improve health. But also, there's loads and loads more data. How do people sift through that? And that's one of the things we focus on, is ensuring our systems provide the relevant data and the right data to help those caregivers, those clinicians, access the data that's relevant to them and relevant to their patients. So just a little point on that. Quickly, I said I was going to look at benefits on this. So we did, in both primary care and secondary care, we did pre and post implementation surveys. And we got lots out of it, you know, saying it does help improve care, help their clinical decision making. But we also need to obviously justify that to the execs, the people who are paying for it, provide confidence in the systems. And so between our pre and post in primary care, we got back information that said they saved roughly this amount of time. I won't go into too much detail trying to save information, but that equates to, on the Wirral, when we equate that across our whole primary care system, just over £1 million in savings. Now, it's a drop in the ocean, I get that, but it is time saving. It's helping those clinicians use that time they've got for more relevant things that's pertinent to them, even if it's just having a break, even if it's finishing on time. It's not about seeing more patients or, you know, saying we're going to get rid of jobs because we can save that time, so you need less clinicians. It's just showing how supported and embedded those systems are in the way care is given now. So coming on to the second system, is really about population health, is the World Care Record. Again, working with the Healthy World Partners to bring them on board and take their information in. But this works slightly different than a health information exchange platform. What it does is it takes the information from all those different organisations, and it takes a file every day. I won't go into too much detail. It takes a file every day and puts it into one database. In essence, it's creating a new patient care record. And it puts it in that database, merges, standardises all that data, so it comes across as one piece of information on the patient. And out of it, we get the World Care Record, which is registries, and I'll come to in a moment, but also the analytics side, what I was saying about that service transformation, supporting systems and services in delivering the care that's right for their patients. So the benefits of this system is it provides that targeted intervention. You'll see this in a moment, but it provides information at a level that allows clinicians to identify those gaps in their patients' care, rather than sifting through all that information as I talked about. It allows them to hone in on where is relevant to their patient and do something about it. It still does provide that data sharing, and again, I'll show that in a moment. There is a longitudinal record as part of this. But one thing I've really found that's great that I didn't expect from this, especially from an IT system. An IT, we talk about, or a lot of people talk about IT, removes us from each other. It creates this barrier, this screen. We no longer communicate, but actually we've seen a massive cultural change in the world. People are starting to share information and access information. It's getting them more knowledgeable on the other services that are being provided and what they're doing. And actually it's creating a change in the way they're viewing each other and the way they're working with each other. And obviously that avoiding waste. So this is kind of a screenshot of one of them. This is this one. This is COPD. So we have registries, basically. And in those registries, this takes all that amalgamated information, that standardized information, and looks at things that are pertinent to a condition, so COPD, for example. And it allows that person viewing this registry to look at their patient. And I think the chap from Scotland said about population health, it's great to look at a population level, but also looking at an individual patient level. And this does provide that. Actually, I was looking at that and thinking, great, we are kind of hitting the nail on the head there. So it allows you to drill it down to a patient level and look at where those gaps are for that patient. So any red tiles there basically tells the clinician there's something that's missing that needs doing, and they have the confidence in the system that because they're getting the information from all the different providers, they know no one else has done that as well. So they do it. It reduces that duplication. So with regards to the registries and those phases I was talking about before, phase one, we've done adult and child diabetes, asthma, and children's adult and children's asthma and COPD. Obviously, long-term conditions, our first focus, our first view on how we support them. But in the second, we've already done them, and they're there, and we've got our measures in place. But during our second phase now, we're working with these others. And remember before I showed you the triangle, I was saying about looking at our whole population, not just the ones who need specialist care. And three down, wellness, the wellness registries. What we're doing is developing registries that look at, so I'm a male, don't know if you noticed, I'm a male, middle-aged, don't really go to GP that often. I might stub my toe in football or something, can I go to my GP? I'm there for 5 minutes, talk about my stub toe, and then I leave. But that's an opportunity, I've touched the system there, it's an opportunity for that clinician at the point of care to ask me some other questions about my health, do I drink, do I smoke, my weight, BMI, things like that, and start collecting that information so we can look at our whole population, not just the ones who are unwell. I won't go into too much of the other registries, but yeah, we're really making significant distance apart from substance misuse. And what we have found in our Healthy World Partnership, those organisations I showed you, there's a separate organisation and a commission to deliver our substance misuse services. And they're not part of our first cohort, so therefore we're not getting their information. So we've had to take that out, but it shows us that we do need to keep going. You need to bring on as many partners as possible to share that information and improve in that healthcare. So we talked about the sharing of information as well with the World Care Record, and this is a longitudinal record. And you probably can't see it, but just over here, it's showing blood results. And what it's showing is a view of blood results over time. Chronological order, and when you click on one, or when you look at one, there's a result, and it doesn't say who it's from or where it's from, it just says the result. When you click on it, it does tell you who it's from. So the first one is from a GP, but at the end there is one from the acute trust. But when you're looking at that, you don't really care where it's come from, you just want to know what chronologically what's happening with the patient, what's changing, what's impacting. And then back to the population level point of view, you can then go up from a population point of view. So on the world, we can see from our registries how many people are on the asthma registry, how many people are on the COPD registry, how many of those measures, those tiles that I showed you before, the white and red ones, how many are being met and how many aren't, who's meeting them, who aren't, who are the really engaging practices or organisations, and who aren't really engaging and we need to support them. And I often say this phrase, but we're not wanting to use this to beat them over the head with a stick and say, you're not doing this and you should be doing this. It's to help inform us of where we need to direct our resource, our support. You know, the hospital goes out and supports practices in that specialist care. We have specialist clinicians who go out and support the practices in that information and that knowledge. But they can't go out to all the practices all the time. So identifying where the practices at need are, another benefit that you just don't think about at the very beginning, but actually when you start working with it, you start to find these benefits that you didn't originally identify. And then onto the analytics, the benefit of a system-wide, you know, population health view. There's loads we can do with analytics, and we're in the very early stages of it. But basically, what this shows us, I'll go on to another one, this one. What this shows is basically, these dots are practices, and the bigger the dot, the bigger the population in that practice. But what this looks at is those measures that are identified on the registry. So red is diabetes, blue is asthma, and yellow is COPD. And it identifies the measures in those registries. And what we see is, before we've even gone big bang and everyone's using it, we can already look at that information that they're already recording, not because of the World Care Record, they're already doing it themselves, and see that the practices who are like, meeting measures, so the higher you go, that's unmet measures. So coming this way, the more measures that are met, there's less encounters in ED. And so what we can see is straight away, those measures do support patients in healthier care not having to attend ED. That's a very starting point, and it's a very simple one to look at, and we're hoping to take that much further. But something else we've used it for is to look at UTI and antibiotics. I don't know if everyone knows, but it's apparently the second highest threat after terrorism on the government's list of threats to the country is antibiotics and that resistance to antibiotics. And so what we've been able to do is look at our organisations and see who's complying with formally, who's prescribing what, and if it's the right prescription. And again, not going out and saying you're not really following procedure, but going out and asking them why they prescribing certain things when the recommendation is something else, and start to reduce, hopefully reduce that resistance out there. Bit more, trying to shave time off. But basically, the point is, driving this forward is to roll it out to all our Health of Real partners. So as I said, we've done the first phase of the term, supporting that service redesign, that service transformation. We've created neighbourhoods on the world where it's wrapping that care around the patient at individual level. I'm sure lots of people are working on a neighbourhood level and those MDTs. So providing a system where all the information is in one place and they can look at that patient that they're talking about in that MDT meeting and hone in straight away on what matters to that patient. And as you alluded to, we're part of GDE. And part of that being part of GDE is sharing that information, sharing those lessons learned. So we're doing a lot of blueprinting to support others who want to take this approach. And it's not just on population health and, you know, even from a CERNA point, I'm not saying by the way, but from a CERNA system point of view, healthy intent, it's not just specific to that. I've just done blueprinting for information governance and engagement, just sent it the other day, thankfully. But that can be used anywhere. Information governance, you know, everyone needs to look at that. And engagement, everyone needs to look at that. It doesn't matter what program you're doing. Hopefully that'll support that as well. So definitely something to keep your eye out for is the blueprint. And now, I hate finishing on this slide. And when I first had it, I was like, oh, it's dead cheesy and it's horrible. But what I do use it for is just to explain where we are in the programme. We talk about a system that is essentially there. We're kind of ready to go. We're going through a few data quality issues at the moment. So I'm not trying to allude to everyone that we're up and running and everything's great and hunky-dory, but we do feel like we're crawling right now. We're at the beginning of our journey to start bringing all that information on, standardising it, reviewing it, and understanding how it can help us. But I absolutely, for want of a cheesy pun, do believe we'll be flying at some point where that information will really support our patients on the wheel. Thank you for your time.